And so it happened that this King Arthur had at his court a lusty bachelor, who on a day came riding from the river, and happened that, alone as she was born, he saw a maiden walking through the corn, from whom, in spite of all her screams of pity, straightway by force he took her virginity, for which violation was there such clamour and such appealing unto King Arthur, that soon condemned was this knight to be dead by course of law, and should have lost his head peradventure, such being the statute then. But that the other ladies and the queen so long prayed of the king to show him grace, he granted life at last in the law's place, and gave him to the queen as she should will, whether she'd save him or his blood should spill. The queen, she thanked the king with all her might, and after this, thus spoke she to the knight when she'd an opportunity one day. "You stand yet," said she, "in such poor a way that for your life you've no security. I'll grant you life if you can tell to me what thing it is that women most desire. Be wise and keep your neck from iron dire. Some say that we do love the best to be quite free to do our own behest, and that no man reprove us for our vice. But saying we are wise, take our advice. For truly there is no one of us all, if any one shall rub us on a gall, that will not kick because he tells the truth. Try, and he'll find, who does so, I say sooth. No matter how much vice we have within, we would be held for wise and clean of sin. And some folks say that great delight have we to be held constant, also trustworthy, and on one purpose steadfastly to dwell, and not betray a thing that men may tell. But that tale is not worth the rake's handle. By God, we women can no thing conceal, as witness Midas. Would you hear the tale? Ovid, among some other matters small, said Midas had beneath his long curled hair two ass's ears that grew in secret there, the which defect he hid as best he might, full cunningly from every person's sight, and, save his wife, no one knew of it, no. He loved her most and trusted her also, and he prayed of her that to no creature she'd tell of his disfigurement impure. She swore him, nay, for all this world to win, she would do no such villainy or sin, and cause her husband have so foul a name. Nor would she tell it for her own deep shame. Nevertheless, she thought she would have died, because so long the secret must she hide. It seemed to swell so big about her heart that some word from her mouth must surely start, and since she dared to tell it to no man, down to a marsh that lay hard by she ran. Till she came there, her heart was all afire, and as a bittern booms in the quagmire, she laid her mouth low to the water down. "Betray me not, you sounding water blown," said she. "I'll tell it to no one else but you. Long ears like asses has my husband too. Now is my heart at ease, since that is out. I could no longer keep it, there's no doubt. Here may you see, though for a while we bide, yet out it must. No secret can we hide. The rest of all this tale, if you would hear, read Ovid, in his book does it appear.